So stuff like this needs to be cut out immediately, doesn't it? Like scraping your chair on the floor.
Scratching your head.
And just scratching my beard, which I think you can probably feel.
It's not really a beard, is it?
It's not a beard, is it?
You've just said, which I think you can feel, which people who are just listening to this will know that. They will think I'm feeling it. I'm not touching Sam's beard.
For the record, she's not touching my beard. That's not what the theme of this podcast is.
That will be on the Christmas special.
That will be, behind a paywall of some description.
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, yeah. Have you ever been on OnlyFans?
I don't even know what it is.
I'm not sure what it is, but as a man, I feel like instantly people are thinking I'm lying.
Is it just girls who go, well, I'll show you like full nipple rather than like half a tit if you sponsor me £3? It's like sponsoring little Timothy in Africa. But instead, you're sponsoring Kim from Walton.
Kim's nipple has to walk 4 hours
to the nearest peep show.
Because I don't know why people pay money for like nipples when nipples are everywhere.
Everything's everywhere. Everything's everywhere. Readily available. I can literally type in "drop science" the internet and click images, and there you go.
There it is,
kids.
It's so easy to find those things, isn't it? At what point do you think we'll be able to stream food off the internet?
I don't know. I hope it's like low fat if it is. Imagine that. Where's the enjoyment?
Well, it depends if it's like a 3D printer that prints out the food. And then whether it's nutritious or not, I don't know.
Like in Star Trek?
A bit like in Star Trek,
Where they just tap the computer and go, done a kebab with tahini and chili.
Well, I was thinking more Earl Grey hot, which is what Jean-Luc Picard used to say. But I'd love to see
I wouldn't get into Starfleet.
Yeah, you just kebab sauce down your Starfleet top.
Kind of sell it in a kebab.
Yeah.
I'm off tonight.
What epaulets are those, Commander Tracy? Nah, it's tahini sauce.
The Klingons are on the starboard bow. Fuck the Klingons, it's my night off. I'm having a kebab, but I'm watching a film.
I've just opened a bottle of wine.
Can't someone else do it?
Yeah, the space. I don't think they ever really drank on Star Trek either. There was never any booze. There was the odd, like, I don't know.
I think sometimes when they were on the holodeck, this is what a nerd I am. I think they used to go to like the saloon bars, didn't they?
Oh, that was it.
Like replicate the Wild West.
Yeah.
Where the barman would like slide a
And
little then glass of booze to them.
A fight at start.
Then there'd be a brawl.
Yeah. That was so were you a Trekkie?
Well, I feel like that's a label I don't want. But I watched every episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Right.
Because it used to be on Sky One at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah, tea time.
So my little boy was a toddler at the time. He's like learning to talk. And before he could say a full sentence, he'd sit there at the beginning and go, space, the final frontier, these are the voyages.
Oh my God.
That seemed wrong.
And he was doing the Patrick Stewart version, not the what was that? I've forgotten the guy's
Captain
name.
Captain
Kirk. Captain Kirk, what was his name?
William Shatner.
Shatner.
That's I didn't even kiss her.
He's 90. I saw he's still alive. He's 90 years old. I didn't have you down as a Trekkie. Not that that's an insult, because I loved that programme. The Next Generation was great.
Yeah, I get a lot of shit for being a nerd in our house, to be honest.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a nerd.
I don't think there is.
It's changed, hasn't it, since like the
90s. All the millionaires were nerds.
Yeah. Bill Gates. All the others. Elon Musk. He's a nerd.
He was bound to become rich with a name like that, though, wasn't he?
Have you seen his son? He's just had a baby, hasn't he? And I don't know what they've given it a name. And it's
Cat.
Got like,
Cat Musk.
It's got like symbols in. You know those symbols on your keyboard? You think, what's that for? I'll never use that. He's got that in his name.
This is it. One day we'll all just write in emojis.
Probably, yeah.
Me little boy, aubergine.
I feel sorry for those, you know, those like celebrity kids who've got like all the classmates have got like stupid names, like Apple. Like, isn't that Chris Martin's son's name? Apple.
It's daughter.
Daughter, right. So it's not a very gender-specific name, is it? I think of Apple as a masculine fruit. I think of banana as a female fruit. But
No,
I haven't said that out loud. Weird. It's quite phallic, isn't it?
I would say Apple is a female fruit. It's like, I don't know, to Apple is a girl's name.
Maybe. Depends what kind of apple. Granny Smith.
Yeah.
That's female.
Royal Guard. Pink Lady.
Pink Lady.
Yeah. Cox's Pippin's a man.
A big Cox. Yeah. That's got to be a man.
I don't know why we try and humanise everything and assign gender to it, but that's our generation. So people need to live with that. That's how we're going to be. I can't help it.
Also, it's fun, isn't it, to kind of look at something that's inanimate and go, what would that be if it was a bloke or a girl?
Well, it's like that website, Faces and Things, and it'll just be like a light switch, and you're like, oh, yeah, that looks like
I love all that. I love, like, when people find Jesus in bread and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, in cloud formations, they'll find, like, Elon Musk and people like that.
I reckon he got bullied with that name, do you?
Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? You'd really kind of... That's the thing, if you went to a school and everyone had a weird name and your name was John, and they'd all be laughing at you because your name was John. Like, that would be such a surreal experience. You know,
it's like some of them Christian families, and they'll call the kids, like, Blessing and Happiness and Wonder. And then they'll be, like, the fourth kid, they're like, we're just going to call you John. We can't be asked.
Yeah.
We didn't really want you. You were a mistake.
Yeah,
so
Gift.
You're none of those.
Precious and Barry. Barry, who, is, like, 13 years younger than the rest of them. And it's clearly just something that happens.
New Year's Eve slip up.
Oh,
that.
Jesus Christ, yeah. No need for that. Yeah, I just, the Trekkie thing, I've just always thought, like, because I enjoy Star Trek, but I've never really dressed up and gone, you know, have you ever done, like, cosplay?
I mean, I haven't done that, no. I didn't even know what cosplay was. Is that just fancy dress?
It's just fancy dress, but we call it cosplay now.
Is that to make it sound more, like, adult?
I think so. To give it a bit of credibility.
To make it sound, like, chic.
Yeah.
Cool.
It means you can put it on a like, a Twitter bio. As like an interest, or in a CV, you could probably say, I like to cosplay.
It's best, like, what did you do with the weekend? I dressed up as Scooby-Doo. Yeah. You're fucking weird. Oh, no, you don't understand. It was cosplay.
It was cosplay.
Oh, right, sorry. I didn't realise.
Yeah, it's a legitimate form of
my mistake.
Time. Yeah, yeah. Who would you cosplay as if you could cosplay as anyone from Star Trek?
It'd have to be Worf. He was my favourite.
Oh, yeah, he was great at money. I love the way he had a mullet at the start.
Yeah, and then a bob.
And then a bob. He had a bob, didn't he? Yeah. He looked like he was... Because it was proper 90s, that show, wasn't it? And it's funny. Like,
I had a little weird crush on him as well, though,
did you
know?
Do you like facial scars?
No, you know what? I like grumpy men.
Well, you're in the right city.
Yeah. I live in the right house.
You live in the right house? You're with the right man, by the sounds of it.
No, he's not. He's like the happiest person in the world.
Is he?
Yeah. He's the opposite of everything that I would normally go for.
He's the opposite of everything I want.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
But I've settled. I'm only messing.
I've settled, yeah. Yeah, you'll do.
I have. He's settled, do. I think. We're both settled. We're just like,
Grumpiness can be quite funny, though, can't it? Like, people who are grumpy, some of my most favourite people are really grumpy people. Like, where we're recording this now, we're in a theatre in Liverpool, and there's a guy on the stage door who's got to be one of the grumpiest men in the city, but he's dead nice with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how well you know him, but I know him quite well now, and I miss his grumpiness. And because the pandemic's been on, I've not seen him for about a year, and I saw him, and I went, "Hiya, mate," thinking he'd be all like, "Hello," and he's just like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" You know, like, after a year, and I kind of like that.
No, I always worked in pubs when I was, like, younger, and I ran a pub for a bit, and my favourite shift was, like, the afternoon shift.
Yeah.
When all the owl fellas would come in and have an argument over the... One of them was out the Echo, and they go, right, Piers Brosnan, how old's he? How am I supposed to know? And they just, like, make it into a big fight, or they were narky, but I just loved it.
Yeah.
I always feel like I've got to win those people over.
Yeah, there's a bit of that, isn't there? But I just think it's funnier, isn't it? It's funnier. People being angry is always funnier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to be surrounded by positivity now and again, but somebody just finds fault with everything. Like, much as I wouldn't want to marry them, they're great to hang around with for a bit.
Funny, aren't they?
You're just fuming. Yeah. Like, absolutely fuming. I've got a mate who's a Man City fan, and he said this a couple of years ago when they won the league, and they got like 100 points or something, and he's there with his dad, and his dad's watched them for years. And it's the best team Man City have ever had, like, by miles, because they've spent billions of pounds. And one of the players, I can't remember who it was now. It might have been David Silva, who, again, was a great player. His dad just stands up and goes, "You're shite, you!" You're fucking, you know, it's just like people just need to be angry, don't they?
Yeah, they need to find something, definitely.
So I don't know what I'm angry about, but I don't think I'm really angry about much at the moment, because it feels, like, quite positive. So I suppose we should try and, like, maybe... tell the listeners what we're talking about today and what this podcast called.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned the name, have we? A really good idea.
We've just sort of started, haven't we? Which is great.
We just started and told everyone that we're Star Trek nerds.
Yeah.
So many people will never listen
to
this.
Just turned off in the droves, haven't they? Yeah. Engage. I've got a squeaky chair as well, I think. That's not my stomach. Can you hear that? Okay, we'll fix that. So this podcast is called Fix the World, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what are we going to do on this podcast, Katie?
We intend to fix the world.
We're going
to
fix the world. It's that simple because...
Problem by problem.
Problem by problem by problem. And it's our role because politicians have failed, haven't they? Activists aren't, you know, making an impact like they should. So
we can't do a worse job than what's gone before.
And that's the bar we're setting for ourselves. Yeah. It's been shit so far. Give us a chance. Give us a go.
Let us try and give you solutions.
To problems you didn't realise were there. And maybe make you more aware of more problems.
Or maybe make you aware how inept we are at solving problems.
Yeah. But we're going to give it our best go. And that's all, you know, that's all we can promise you.
That's all we can do. That is all we can do.
And also we want to hear your problems and your fixes and your solutions.
Yeah.
And you can get in touch with us. And we will endeavour to collaborate with your creativity and find ways to make this world maybe not a better place, but a different place.
A more tolerable place.
More tolerable, I like that.
Yeah.
We should probably introduce ourselves a little bit as well.
Yeah, go on then.
I'm Sam, and I'm a comedian, and that's about it, really. I'm bald.
He is, if bald you're not man. Watching on, if you're listening. He is. I'm Kate. I am also a comedian. I'm not bald, but I've got I've got male pattern baldness. It is receding. So at some stage, if you keep tuning in, you might be a long time fan and eventually see my comb over.
Oh, that's great!
How amazing!
That's great. So we're going to be you're going to be sort of like trying to look like me, basically. Yeah.
One day we will.
So you know when someone says to you, like, what do you do? And you tell them that you're a comedian, what do you find is the how does the conversation tend to go at that point?
I tend not to tell people.
I don't like telling people.
I feel like a knob.
Yeah. I'd rather just keep it vague. It depends who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to someone and I'm in, you know, quite deep into the conversation and they say, what do you do? I'll tell them I'm a comedian because you know you're going to get all the same questions and that's fine because people are just curious and they want to know. But if everyone's blathered and it's someone who's a little bit, I don't know, alpha, I'd rather just say, oh, I work in the arts or something vague because they just...
Well, I also have a day job, so I can just say that. But when I've only been this current job I'm in, when I first started, it was about, just before the first lockdown. So when I started, because it's quite like fancy place and it's like a fancy office. And
fancy place.
When I went for the interview, I was like, no way, I'm getting a job here.
You sound so scouse when you say that. It's quite a fancy place. They had carpets.
But anyway, I got the job, but I didn't tell anybody that I did comedy and I didn't have it on my CV or whatever.
Did you have cosplay on your CV?
Yeah, I did. I went to my interview dressed as Buzz Lightyear.
Smashed it.
Smashed that right.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? To infinity and beyond. Next.
With a new suit. So when I started, I didn't tell anybody and... I'd forgotten that, like, people Google people or people might know somebody you know.
Yeah.
And then somebody came up and went, I believe you do comedy. And I was like, oh yeah, I do. And they're like, why didn't you say something? And I'm like, because I don't go around introducing myself saying, oh, I do comedy. And also, like, I feel like a knob telling people.
Because people look at you differently, don't they?
Yeah, but then they go, why would you feel like that? You must be dead confident if you do comedy.
That's not really the case, is it? Like, some people are, but... There's a different kind of confidence on stage than real life because you couldn't be who you are on stage in, you know, Tesco.
No.
You'd be unbearable.
We're a version of ourselves on stage, aren't we? We're not the real thing.
No, not at
all. Nobody would want to watch the real version of me on stage.
Nobody would want to watch the stand-up version of me, like, in real life.
No.
I'd be unbearable. Oh, but when I met my wife in this exact room that we're recording in, actually, years ago. And then we went on a date, but she'd seen me compare, like, the host of the show. And obviously I was dealing with hecklers and I was putting them down. I was, you know, being quite abrupt with people. And the first thing she said when we went out was, oh, you're a lot more polite than I thought you'd be. Like, I think she expected me to just turn up and start slamming her. And I don't mean in a sexual sense. I mean...
Oh, did she think you were, like, going to go out and be like a G, just, like, yeah. making cracks and everything? Yeah. Yo, hey!
Yeah. Like, the waiter comes over and I'm like, yeah, blah, blah, you know, like taking a piss out of his shoes or something. So not at all, no. So, I tell people sometimes, yeah. but just keep it to myself. Like
I started doing it around the just after or just before I got with my fella. So we've been together a long time. And at first, he used to come to gigs with me and it's not his comfort zone. He walks into a pub if there's a band on, he's like, oh, fuck's sake. he just doesn't like culture. Yeah. I'm going to put that out there. And he'd agree. There's certain things he likes and live culture is not one of them. So, like, he used to come and see me do, you know, stand up, but at back then I was quite new, so it was all mainly open spot nights, and there was always a few acts who, like, just weren't very good.
Yeah.
And he'd just sit there, like, cringing.
Yeah, physically, you see people kind of, like,
or then I'd go
shriveling.
On stage and I'd do a set and it'd be about him, but it was a version of him, not the real him most of the time. And then everyone, like, might get a good response or whatever, and then I'd come off stage and go and sit with him, and he's like, so, like, you come off stage, haven't said all that, and then come and sit with me, and they're all like, oh, there's the poor bastard there. But yeah. he hasn't been to see me for years. And I go, you used to come all the time, and he went, well, I don't have to impress you now, do I?
Yeah, that's it.
Fair enough.
You put more effort in at the beginning of a relationship than, I was going to say the end, I don't mean the end, I mean, like, later on. You just, because, you know, you've done the hard yards.
Well, he's a roofer, and I've never stood outside the house and watched them point up a gable end, ever.
I put something on social media this week, and it's something that I've kind of thought about for a while, but it was to do with, like, comedy, and when people find out you're a comedian, people tend to immediately start slagging off a famous comedian, and they tell you all the reasons why they can't fucking stand them.
Mm.
And, like, half the time you know them, because we've all been on the circuit. Every comic comes from the circuit. So a lot of the time they're slagging someone off who's, like, helped you out or given you a lift or bought you a pint or maybe he's a good mate. And you're like... Come on, I don't slag off John from accounts to you.
Then you get the other side of the coin where they go, oh, you know who I love? And you're like, I really fucking hate them.
yeah.
They're a knobhead.
They're shit, you know, they're shit. And I'll tell you why, and then you come up with some story about a gig, you know, 15 years ago where they didn't do particularly...
Yes, all the black wine gums on the car journey, and I've never forgiven them since.
There's a guy, I've forgotten his name now, and I held a grudge against him for about 10 years because he didn't give me petrol money once. He got out the car and had gone out my way as well. And he just got out the car. And then he was on the telly on some, like, it was like a comedy talent show. And I was like, I was tempted to vote for all the other people. Because I was just like, that bastard didn't give me any petrol money. And it really doesn't matter, does it? You've got to let these things go, ultimately.
Yeah, you can't let that go. I'd hold a grudge till my deathbed on that one.
I've forgotten his name. That's the only reason I've let it go.
Oh, wow.
That's like a different Buddhist technique. Just forget. Like, I don't mean forgive. I mean, just literally forget who it was.
Next time you go to a gig, you'll be on the bill. You'll be like, it was him.
Yeah. Hey, mate, you've got that £3 you owe me from 2009. I was gonna ask you. I've got a problem, a world problem that does need fixing, and I would like to see if you've got any solutions, and if you're listening at home. If you've got any solutions as well, you can get in touch with us.
Okay, this could be my moment to shine.
It could be. This is my moment. Was that Leona Lewis or was that Whitney?
Martin McCutcheon.
Oh, Martin McCutcheon, sorry. So the problem is, this is a real world problem, and it's a problem in Japan. So Japan has they call it a shrinking population. Mm. Now, you could make some kind of, you know, horrible comments about the fact that Japanese people tend to be on the short side. That's not what that means. What it means is, they're shrinking because they're not breeding. They're getting older. People are living longer. And all these people in Japan are, something like 30% of them are over 60.
Yeah.
So basically what's happening is there's loads of old people needing pensions, needing care, and there's not enough young people to pay into the pot, to pay tax, to work in care homes, hospitals. So it's actually shrinking like quite a lot. So what the Japanese like authorities, the government are trying to do is trying to encourage people to have more kids. But Japanese women have grown up and they just don't want kids anymore.
No.
Because they've seen, like, the Japanese culture, it's all about, you know, work, 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 devote yourself to a company. So they've seen all these men over generations just destroy themselves through work. And then the women have had to bring up all the kids. Now the women have started working, but the men still won't put any work in at home, apparently, yeah. Which, you know, sounds great to me. But, you know, it's obviously putting a massive strain on the women. So all the young Japanese women now are looking at, like, the mum and their auntie and thinking, I don't want that shit. I'm not having kids. So there's all these bars, apparently, in Japan that are just for women. They don't let men in. They're just for women, and they have these, like, you know, big parties, and they're all out, just the girls. They're not on the pull because they don't want to get married. They don't have kids. They just want to have a good
time.
They
don't even want to have a club neck.
They don't even want to have a club neck, a 10 to 2.
That's upsetting me.
I know, because that doesn't mean commitment, does it?
It doesn't mean pregnancy.
It doesn't, well, it could do, but it doesn't mean anything.
It could do,
It depends.
Depends what your definition of club neck is.
It depends what club, and it depends where your neck is.
It's true.
That's not your neck. Yeah. Those little encounters in clubs, you know, I mean, they're very fleeting, aren't they, really?
Rite of passage.
Yeah, when the lights come on at the end. Do people still do that? I know we're in quarantine.
No lights come on at the end, the night doesn't end.
Do they not?
Oh, the daylight comes through the windows,
that's
doesn't
even
it?
Worse. That's different. That's like vampires, isn't it?
Yeah.
When the lights come on. I remember having a cheeky club neck with a girl many, many years ago in the Crazy House.
Yeah.
The rock bar in town. And...
In the mosh pit.
Not quite in the mosh pit, yeah, because you'd lose your teeth, wouldn't you?
You would.
And I remember thinking, oh, she's lovely, yeah. And then a week went by and I, you know, didn't exchange numbers or anything.
Did you go in with like black lipstick all over your face?
Yeah, like bruises. Yeah. And like the Dr. Martin boot like mark on my chest. And I came back to the club the following week and this girl came up to me and she went, oh, hi, Sam. And it was the girl from the previous week. And she only had one arm and I hadn't noticed. The week before. That's how drunk I was. And I was said to me, mate, did she have an arm? Did she have two arms last
she
week?
She lost an arm this week.
I know. We couldn't decide whether she'd already always had one arm or whether she'd lost an arm in the week between. So, I think she'd always had one arm.
Yeah.
She was very
but
upbeat.
But you didn't notice.
I didn't notice, no. But anyway, getting off the subject. In Japan, right, is another thing they do. They, because women aren't getting married... They actually have these services where if you're a young Japanese single woman, you can go and get your wedding pictures done without getting married.
I'd love to do that because I'm never getting married, but I want to just... One time me and my friend went to Cheshire Oaks and we were in the monsoon shop. This is years ago. We spent a good 2 hours just trying on wedding dresses.
Did you?
Like in Muriel's wedding.
Like a montage scene where they come out.
I'm getting
and
married
like...
to Tim Sims. Yeah, it was like that. And we had a ball and I was like, I feel like I haven't quite, like, I want a dress fitting. And more, I don't want to get married, I want a hen do.
Oh, God, I would love a stag do.
Didn't you have a stag do every year?
Oh, I had one. Yeah, I had two. But I would love, like, one every couple of weeks. Like, or at least one a year. I've got a mate who does one a year. He got married about 10 years ago and he still has a stag do every year and just goes out with the lads.
Yeah, my fellas every year goes away with his mate.
Oh, it's great.
Every year I go away with my mates.
Yeah.
But it's not my hen do.
It's not your hen do.
And I want fancy dress. And I want one of them veils with like porno cards and condoms all over it.
Yeah, yeah. Willy straws.
Yeah, Willy straw. I want all of that. But
you want all of that fine stuff.
Yeah. that classy.
Yeah. And then get the photos, get the key ring.
Yeah.
Then you're done, aren't
Covered
you?
Covered in whipped cream.
Yeah. Just
sticks by your ears. Just...
scaring all the younger males. I love it when you see a hen do and they're like over 30 and they just find like some young lads who are like 18 and those lads just, they don't know what's hit them.
No, they love it though.
Oh, they love it.
Because women over 30 are just more uninhibited. They don't care.
Totally. They're done with all the bullshit. They're like, listen, I'm not waiting till 10 to 2. No. It's 7:30. Come here.
Get over here.
Come here for 5 minutes.
I've had a helium balloon off the man. I've had an aftershock, I'm feeling great.
I've just had a lollipop from the woman in the box and I'm ready for it now. Just come here and amuse me for 5 minutes.
We were in Magaluf a couple of years ago and the woman in the toilet had a badge and it said, no tissue, no issue. Which I thought that was amazing.
In the men's box, they often say, what is it? No splash, no gash, which is horrible, isn't it? You're like, oh my, it's funny because as you get older, you know, when I was in my 20s, I'd sort of laugh at that. It never like spoke to me on a deep level, like, that's a very good point he's making. Yeah. But now I hear it and I just
go, it's a rule I live by.
Excuse me, that's disgusting what you've just said. It's like, I get really like, you just get old and you get there prudish, unless you're bevied.
Yeah.
But in Japan, they're trying to encourage people to have more kids and they don't know how to do it. So
well, there's no money in the coffers to give them like extra incentive, cash incentive.
No, there's no money in the coffers to pay people to have more kids. Because also, like, how much money would you need to have another kid?
If someone paid me 25 grand a year, I mean, I'm too old to have more kids now. I wouldn't be having no more kids, but I think I'd push that boundary.
A year, yeah. It'd have to be an annual thing.
You wouldn't have to work.
No.
But it's just like, and it'd have to be for life. It doesn't stop when they're 18, because that's when the real trouble starts. You think it gets easier when they turn into adults, but you just worry more.
Yeah, okay.
Because you think about yourself.
Yeah.
At every stage of their growth, you think about yourself at that stage. And we were at our safest when we were in school.
Yeah, because you were surrounded by that bubble, weren't you? And you didn't...
And our parents knew where we were all the time.
All the time. At least they got phones now. Was that a bad thing?
I mean, my kid has his phone in his hand all the time. All the time. If I ring him...
It's not working.
No.
No signal, Mum. No signal in the middle of that field.
No, so the money that the Japanese government would have to give me would have to be for life.
So that's a lot of money. I'm not... Mm. Yeah, I don't know whether they could afford that. But 25 grand a year, that'd be good, because then you could... especially if you got the kid to leave home by the time he was, like, 12.
But if they tax me on it, give me it, but tax me on it, then they're getting money back from me as well during the course of this wage.
It's like cooking the books in a way.
It is.
Cooking the books to get you to
give
cook some
more kids.
Give them it
one hand and taking away with the other.
Yeah. What about if they kind of introduce some sort of like Western culture into the Japanese, you know, nightlife scene? Because like, you know, in England, there's no problem with people getting pregnant. People are just, all you need is a room and some people and a bottle of aftershock.
Yeah.
And you could end up with four babies like a few months down the line.
Yeah. But I think it's a cultural thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't change a whole country's culture. So he's got to think of other ways to encourage them.
How about if the karaoke songs were only like baby making music? Like, oh,
I've been
baby,
really
I
trying,
love you.
Baby.
My mind's telling me no.
Or
really
they could do a whole propaganda of a young woman in her 20s having the time of her life, in her 30s being a businesswoman, in her 40s owning her own house, going on special holidays. And then as she gets older, she gets gradually more lonely. Some friends may die, some friends may get married, but all she's got is herself in a little house with nobody.
But if I watch that, I just watch that and go, oh, that first bit looks amazing. I'll take your medicine at the end.
It'd be worth the hedonistic years to just like...
Just die on my own.
Live we all a life of solitude and poverty.
Yeah, but then I'd just go down... If I was a woman, it's really difficult, because if I was a Japanese woman, I'd just be like, I'm in my 70s. I'm going to go to one of those Japanese bars for women only in the 70s. Because surely as they get older, they'll be like catered into that age group.
I would really like to think, though, that when I am 70, there are nightclubs that cater to me.
Oh, my God, there will be. Because people are getting younger as they get older, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
People are, like, age doesn't seem
like
to...
Like, levels of, like, a proper disabled lift.
Yeah.
So you could get to the floor that played the 80s, 90s.
Yeah. I'll meet you on the Stena.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be like, you know when you run to the dance floor and you hear a song you like, you wouldn't get there in time, would you?
No. On the ground floor, all, like, the cool kids are just listening to Binary.
Yeah.
And something floating around in special shoes.
Yeah.
And then the further up the rooms you go, it just gets...
It gets more haggard.
Yeah.
And old.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a lot of clubs I've been to be honest.
Can't they, like, just start, like, give euthanasia voluntarily? I think you should be able to opt for euthanasia.
I think euthanasia has to be voluntarily.
Otherwise
it's
murder,
isn't it? Excuse me, this euthanasia
What I'm
is...
saying is, like, if you could opt to be... Because you see, like, some people live to be 100. I don't want to live to be 100.
No.
I would think that would be boring, pissy smelling, meaningless. I've had my life. I've seen my kids grow up. Nice little grandkids, whatever. I've knitted stuff. You know what I mean? I've done my best. I don't want to be one of them useless old people. Not all old people are useless, but I see old people and they're dead useless and you think, oh, What's the fucking point?
Yeah,
what is the point? Send me to Switzerland.
I mean, it must be.
Go out on a high.
Go out on a high. I think I'd rather just go out on like throw me out of a plane. I think I'd rather do it that way rather than like a nice injection surrounded by my family. Just like take me like.
I'd like to be eating by a shark, you know?
Oh, that'd be all right, you know, because it'd be over quick, wouldn't
it? Yeah, you'd just be like, just throw me in the Pacific. Cover me in Marmite and throw me into the Pacific.
She died as she lived, screaming her head off.
With bite marks all over
her. I wonder if sharks like Marmite, though.
Well, I don't know.
Because if you got one that didn't, they'd just bite you a little bit and go, ah.
Well, if they make shark repellent, like what Batman has, I'm pretty certain they make shark, attractor.
Yeah, well, like a pheromone thing, like an aftershave perfume.
Or just do a couple of little diabetes pricks on your
fingers. Oh, yeah. Bit of blood.
Yeah.
Be buzzing, wouldn't you?
Easy. But yeah, I don't really know the answer for Japan, to be honest, unless they want to maybe do send people from the West over there.
Send me over, because I would love to go there. Not now, maybe, but when I was younger, if I was young and single, I would love to be the only Western man in a bar full of Japanese women who are all single. Like, and you could give it your job, like, to just impregnate as many as possible. This sounds incredibly dodgy. I mean, it's all... I've not thought this through. But that's the big thing about Japan. They don't like foreigners. They don't like people moving in. So the one idea was to get, you know, Westerners to move over. Yeah. But they don't like foreigners. So they want to keep it.
So I went to Australia a couple of years ago, and my stopover was in Hong Kong. Which isn't Japan, I know. But I was on my own, and as I was going from the terminal where I changed, got off my plane to go to the terminal, I was getting the next plane, and it was absolutely fucking miles away. So I'm on, the travelators, and I've got, my little bag, and it was just... And as I'm walking, because I'm quite a tall person, and everybody, I felt like everyone was staring at me, but I don't know if it was I was projecting.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was, tall. And differently, sort of physical.
Well, you were
shaped to them.
You're the minority at that point, aren't you?
So being a minority is really it was a bit of a wake up call, to be honest.
I've done it again. It was going to Australia. I don't know where we stopped, but I was the only man and the only Westerner. And it is for white people like we are.
We haven't got a clue, have we?
No. You go, it must be terrible if you're different and a minority. And you're like, yeah, but you haven't got a clue.
Got no clue at all.
Yeah.
And it was mad.
It feels awkward. And I was only queuing for a sandwich. Yeah. And it was 10 minutes. no one said anything. And I got my sandwich. No one treated me any differently. But I just felt, I could feel eyes looking at me. And yeah, it was strange. So Japan, sorry, we haven't really solved your problem. But
I sort of did, but it involves euthanasia.
Yeah.
And money.
Maybe if it's... Maybe the euthanasia has to be involuntary then. Maybe we do have to go down there. It's a bit of a dark route, but maybe you could get some kind of...
Like the care pathway.
Isn't that what... The way to run corn. They could have some government-funded assassins, couldn't they? Who just assassinate old people. Which would be dead easy. But also...
They're called Tory MPs in the UK.
Send the Tories to Japan... Bish, bash, bosh.
Yeah.
Sorted. I think that's the best option. So if you've got any ideas on how we can help Japan, maybe we could put on a benefit gig or something.
Yeah.
Or release a record. But
what record?
I don't know what record. It'd have to be a Barry White cover, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd have to be a sexy one. Get people in the mood.
Come on, five kids is a good number.
I mean, they've got no problem releasing pandemics into the world, so they could just release some kind of love potion.
Love potion.
That's the answer.
That's the next pandemic.
Yeah. Well, imagine.
Oh.
That sort of will happen as well.
Imagine.
It's going to be the roaring 20s once everything's over. It will be a love potion's been distributed.
Detonated.
Yeah.
I'm going to detonate my love potion, which sounds like a Kiss song, doesn't it? So thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah.
And thanks for watching if you've been watching us on YouTube.
I hope you found it useful.
I hope you found it inspiring. And yeah. If not, else we would have killed a little bit of
time. If you are the health minister of Japan, please feel free to get in touch for other advice.
We're happy to give a Zoom meeting to you.
We'll parlay with your government if you need us to.
And we're happy to work on a case by case basis. And
Sam means he's happy to impregnate women on a case by case basis. in a club filled with just women.
Yeah. Do you know what? I just love to stand and do karaoke dressed as like a 1970s pimp in one of those bars. That's one of my dreams. I don't know why. It's not even sexual. I just love to do it with like a big afro wig. I think that'd change the population of Japan.
Which takes us back to cosplay again.
Back to cosplay. all roads lead back to cosplay. But thanks for watching, folks, and we'll be back next week with another episode. And until then, follow us on all the social channels.
Please
we'll
do.
Put the links in the descriptions.
We're here to help. Remember that.
We're here to help. We're here for you. There's a phone number going across the screen right now. If you've been affected by any of the issues, there isn't. Don't phone me. I've got no signal, especially if that's my mum watching. But anyway, Katie, it's been a pleasure.
I've enjoyed it.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.